I'm Kevin Middleton.
And I'm Samantha Berg. And this is The Bridge to Everywhere. Welcome to The Bridge to Everywhere. Join us as we explore health, community, and culture from a holistic perspective. Health topics addressed on our show are for information and entertainment and should not be taken as medical advice. If you have a medical condition, please consult an appropriate care provider.
Welcome, everyone. This is Kevin Middleton, and I'm here with Samantha Berg. And tonight, we're going to interview Aaron Kessler and Ailish Van, the owners of Midnight Sun Yoga Center here in downtown Palmer. They just recently opened up, and we're really happy to have them on the show tonight. We're going to talk about their studio. We're going to talk about yoga, and we're also going to get a couple of good yoga jokes, too.
Right. Yes, we thought we'd start off with the yoga joke. So apparently Ailish Van is the person to tell the yoga joke. So take it away, Ailish.
Okay, I can't take credit for this one, but what did the hippie say when he was asked to get off the couch?
I don't know. What did the hippie say when he was asked to get off the couch?
Namaste.
Namaste. Okay, for those of you who don't know what namaste is, we'll explain that later. So I guess what we want to do is just introduce Ailish and Aaron to everyone. And we want to talk about, first of all, what your personal journey has been, how you guys individually each got to yoga, how you came together and started the yoga studio. So let's just start off a little bit on your personal journey, how you guys became yoga teachers. Why don't you start off, Aaron?
Sure. I started yoga in college to help combat stress and find a balance in my active lifestyle of surfing. I grew up in Florida surfing, and I was on the collegiate surf team for a few years, and I found tension in my muscles needed to be relieved, and I was taking free yoga classes offered at the University of Central Florida. So it was a place that I could go, relax, de-stress, and that's kind of where it began. It was my sophomore year in college.
Can I interrupt now, here for a second?
I was going to ask you.
Surfers are not supposed to be stressed out. So yeah. how did, like, surfing, intense muscles, that doesn't really work. So how?
And well, also, it does, because you're on your belly when you're waiting for waves, and you're in an arched position, and your upper body gets really tight and tense. So it was just a way to kind of open up the heart space, open up the chest, and work on my shoulders primarily. And I've noticed since then my muscle structure has changed with my different activities that I've done. But the stress in college, I think everyone can relate to, just with everything going on. I was in a sorority. I was on the surf team. I was the secretary of the surf club as well, active in the College of Arts, Arts and Humanities. So, yeah, just general college stress, and I think that's where a lot of young girls find a good relief in college is with through yoga.
No doubt, yeah. No doubt. Hey, was it in Sebastian Cove that you were surfing?
Sebastian Inlet, yeah. That's actually where I originally learned to surf when I was 13, was at Sebastian Inlet Beach in Florida.
I've heard there's, you actually are seeing sharks as you're surfing. Is that true?
Oh, yeah,
that there's...
I've seen many sharks, but... it's just not a concern. I think I'm more terrified of drowning, I think, than sharks.
Oh, wow.
Have you had any near drowning experiences?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, once those waves knock you over because I'm, you know, not very good. they can hold you down, and it definitely you could even relate that to breathing exercises in yoga and being able to hold your breath for long periods of time, or just at least holding your breath and calming your anxieties and calming your nerves because of the circumstance that you're in underwater there. I've definitely seen an increase in my surfing abilities going back to Florida after I'd been practicing yoga up here in Alaska and skiing up here in Alaska as well.
Yeah, the power of the water is unbelievable, isn't it?
Just it is. It's just like the mountains up here. You have to have a respect for it. I think a lot of people take that for granted. Just skiers and snowboarders up here, they think that they can conquer mountains or conquer the outdoors, and it's something that needs to be respected.
Yeah. We were in an avalanche once in the Hatcher Pass, and that was unbelievable force and power, totally unexpected. Totally blew us away, and we were just lucky to be alive. And so we have a newfound respect ever since.
Yeah, no doubt.
Ailish, how about you?
Well, I also got started with yoga in college. I took it as an elective in college in Juneau, and it was in the Student Activity Center. It was a really cold, big, vast room, but the teacher was amazing, and she was a big inspiration. And I really enjoyed the class, and then when I moved from Juneau, I kind of got out of the yoga scene, but then when I moved back up here, I got back into it. I had a lot of yoga videos, and it wasn't doing it for me. I was really missing, like, the community aspect of it, and I didn't know a lot of people when I moved here, and so it really helped me. That's how I met Aaron, was through yoga, and I've met so many other awesome people, and that's why I got started, and I realized, like, the value of actually going to a yoga class versus doing it on a video, because if you screw up or you hurt when you're doing a pose on a video, it's just, you can't ask anyone about it, and, you know, you'll just keep doing it wrong, or you'll hurt yourself or something, so having that class is just so, it's so nice, it's such a nice way to do it.
So it really helps, doesn't it, to have an instructor who can look at your body individually, kind of give you a sense of what you need, and can talk you through the poses so that you don't get hurt. Because it's you know, I think people are often surprised at that you can hurt yourself doing yoga. I mean, it's not that, but when you have a good instructor who's watching the class closely and who kind of knows your body, that's less likely to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think I really got excited about yoga until I actually took a class. I did a few things in the video, and I was like, well, this is okay, you know, this. But it wasn't until I was actually in a class and a teacher was working with me that I actually really got clear, oh, my God, this is actually amazing.
Well, and then you also have the energies of everybody in the classroom as well. And that's what one thing I really like about our studio is the positive energy that each person brings to class. So when you're doing it at home by yourself, you're able to kind of zone out, but you're missing that extra energy that is brought forth in a larger classroom. And I think having more people in a class is so much more fun and so much more beneficial for each individual.
So let's talk about, so what do you need to be certified as a yoga teacher in this state?
Great question. for the state rules, it's mostly, I'm not 100% sure, but I know nationally you should get your certified yoga teacher training, a 200-hour course or a 500-hour course if you want to bump up your credentials. And you can always take continuing education courses. The 200-hour course is the one Ailish and I have completed at Blue Mountain Studio. So there's a bunch of different accredited schools. So if you are looking to become a teacher, you want to make sure that the school that you are going to go to is a Yoga Alliance accredited school. And there is a website for that, for yogaalliance.com. And make sure you are getting your training under a certified school and not getting shamed on what you're working for.
And so you guys are not training teachers as of yet, but is that a goal for you at some point to have a teacher training at your studio? Is that
not really? No, I think we're not really about that. We're more just about the community. If people are looking for the resource to find schools, we'll totally help them in that. And we know some connections in Anchorage, and there's some really good schools in Anchorage as well to go get your yoga certification. And I know friends that have completed it at Laughing Lotus and
Interdance.
And a couple other places as well. But I think the real value for Alaskans is to travel outside to the lower 48 and experience other teachers in other states, both urban and rural, other philosophies of yoga, not just basic hatha. There's so many different styles you can do. So finding what works for you in your teaching style, whether it's a flow course, whether it's a Ashtanga or a Iyengar, there's so many options out there, Bikram and whatnot. So trying to get kind of everything from everybody, as much as you can learn. I mean, with anything, when you're teaching yourself or you're learning, to just spread out, I think, and find other schools as well or other workshops.
You know, on that note, there are these different forms of yoga. What would be just a general overview or survey of what yoga is and the different forms?
And maybe you can tie it into the different classes that you guys have, because I know you also are offering Pilates at your at your studio too. So maybe just kind of run down, I know you don't have the schedule in front of you, but run down what the schedule is and what each one of those classes would be to give people an idea of what you guys are offering right now.
Okay, sure. Yoga is, it literally means to tie two things together, to yoke them together. So it's uniting your breath and movement. And so we offer right now, we have a hot yoga class that was a routine that Aaron and I came up with. It's a nice combination of standing, balancing, strengthening poses, as well as some core work and a nice variety of seated postures as well. So we have that on Monday nights, and then we also have a belly dancing class, which is awesome. And Aaron and I have both learned in the last month that belly dancing and yoga go really well together. our belly dance instructor, Jen Woodward, she's a beautiful person inside and out, and she's just been really great. And she ties yoga in with her belly dancing warm-ups and cool downs, and just having those hips loosened up really helps with the belly dancing flow. So we have those two classes on Monday nights, and then
now, are there any men in your belly dancing class?
We haven't
yet,
had any men yet, but Jen says,
"Do you hear that, everybody out there in the belly? We need some men in the belly dancing class."
I'll tell you what. If Mike, sound man here, does it, I'll do it with him.
There you go. We'll get you some
hip
scars.
I hear a challenge. I'll put money down on that one.
Yeah, belly dancing has been something that Erin and I have both fallen in love with, and we're very happy to have it. And Jen teaches the classic cabaret style, Middle Eastern influenced belly dance, which is different than the tribal belly dance. There is a tribal group in Palmer as well that is a different little troupe.
Is that the Miva tribal belly dance?
The Gaia.
Gaia,
yeah.
So Miva's maybe they're in Anchorage.
A couple of the ladies from the tribal group have come to the cabaret style too, and so it's pretty neat to have everyone working together. And their goal is to just grow the belly dancing community in the valley. So Tuesday we have a Pilates class in the morning and in the evening. Tuesday is our big Pilates day, and I just tried the Pilates for the first time on Tuesday, and I thought I had a pretty strong core, but it was a good workout. A lot of core intense poses, but also she ties in some yoga stuff too, some yoga postures and holding them differently, and really just making your guts like tingle, and even your legs and stuff too. Lori.
That's Lori Pratt who's doing that.
Lori Pratt.
Yeah, so can you say a little bit more about the difference between Pilates and yoga? Because I know that's a common confusion out there. Like, why would you choose? I actually think you should do both. Mm-hmm. But where would you see the differences between the two? And I know there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover. The biggest thing I see is just you do a lot of repetition in Pilates. And it's not necessarily a flow practice. Not that all yoga classes are flow based, but it's.
And, let me interrupt. So flow meaning going from posture
like,
to posture.
Yeah, kind
right?
of tying them all together and
smoothly.
Smoothly, mm-hmm. And you know, in Pilates, you're on your back, you're on your belly, you're on your back, and then you're on your hands and knees or whatever, and so you're moving around a lot. And but I think that they do need to be done together, because just for your overall health, like the strong core reduces the injuries in your back and your spine and loosens up your hamstrings and everything, which helps lower back injuries and stuff too. And so many people have those back injuries. It's such mm-hmm. a huge thing around here, probably everywhere. So having that strong core really helps you not use the muscles in your back that are not strong, should not be picking up a big old box of whatever. And so it's nice to tie those two together. And I'm hoping that I can start just going to Pilates all the time, because I think it would be really good for me too. So
yeah, and I know you don't want to overdo it too with the flexibility. I mean, I know yoga instructors who have hurt themselves doing too many back bends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So it seems like combining it with the Pilates is a good way to sort of develop in both ways, not just the flexibility, mm-hmm. but the strength as well.
Yeah, and definitely the key to everything, and especially in life, and something we focus on is balance. So if you are having an active lifestyle, weightlifting or bodybuilding, you definitely want to work on stretching and kind of balancing that out as well. And that's kind of where the Pilates, working your core, getting a little bit more of a workout, but also having that flexibility that you bring from your yoga classes as well to help you get a little bit better of a workout.
You know, I remember the first time I did a series of yoga classes or hot yoga, and the room was turned up to about 100 degrees or something like that. Do you also have a really hot room?
We're working on it. We're the first few weeks we were battling with the air conditioning system, which was really unfortunate, but we're getting there, and it was pretty hot.
If you need a couple of those wall unit heaters.
Ceramic heaters.
Yeah, ceramic heaters. We have two of them.
Yeah, we can.
So people have been offering up heaters left and
okay.
right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, anyway, when I did this, I mean, I did it 4 days in a row. I was just so blown away. And after 4 days, I looked at Sam and I said, oh, my God, I can't believe my back was just 4 days away from feeling this good.
Yeah,
so for years,
really.
You know, and just putting up with the little aches and pains. Mm-hmm. And when I'd bend down to grab something that's low, you know, I would feel this sort of vulnerability, or I just have to be careful. And literally after 4 days, I mean, I'm moving around like flexible and mm-hmm. confident, and that stability in the core. So, I mean, it's really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And that's something nice about a warm practice or a hot yoga practice. It really allows you to get deeper into your stretches by loosening your muscles. So I think a lot of people benefit from that, as well as from beginners all the way to advanced. They can actually find their maximum edge, which is really nice. And I think that draws a lot of people to the hot yoga classes.
Great. Okay, so we got to Tuesday, and then what's next?
Well, we still have a class on Tuesday. Yeah. We have, I teach a beginning yoga class on Tuesday night. So if you're just getting into yoga and you want to try something new, the beginning class is not as gentle as our gentle yoga on Wednesday evenings. Tuesday night focuses on foundations starting from the ground up. So hand placement, foot placement, engaging certain muscles, alignment, focus. And we cover a whole gamut of postures. We talk about pranayama, which simply is a breathing exercises associated with yoga typically. So we definitely just I talk a lot, but you learn a lot. So it's something that, you know, you can come to more than once, definitely. But if you're new to it and you want to expand kind of your idea of yoga, the beginning class on Tuesday nights at 7:15 is really awesome.
Okay, so the beginning class is really getting a philosophical orientation, getting posture, just really getting all the basics.
Yeah, it's just your basic overview, definitely. If you want more of a gentle practice, this isn't the most gentle class. So we take it easy. We do prop introductions, props meaning the blocks you use to extend your hands to the floor a little more, the straps you use to get to your toes, a wall, a chair, bolsters, which is like a pillow you'd sit on or support your lower back with, and kind of just give you the whole rundown on Yoga 101.
And do you guys have mirrors in the room? So are people able to look at themselves while they're in the poses?
We just got some mirrors for belly dancing class. Jen brought in some mirrors that are on loan from the Tribal Council in Chickaloon, so thanks and props to them. But we do not have them up at the moment. It's been kind of a 50-50 on whether people really want the mirrors or not. I think there's pros and cons to the mirrors. You know, some people really want to focus on their alignment, and mirrors are fantastic for that. I personally like mirrors to really focus on the alignment factors, more of an Iyengar-style yoga, focusing on posture and everything like that. But some people are just very self-conscious, and that's fine. But hopefully yoga helps break down those boundaries as well.
Yeah, I can see the you know, both sides of that argument. I've done yoga both with a mirror and without a mirror, and absolutely it makes a huge difference when you can't totally when you're new at yoga, when you can't really feel where you are in space. Sometimes it takes, you know, somebody who's a real visual person to see, oh, okay, I need to go a little bit more this way or a little bit more that way. And then after you've been doing it for a while, you might not necessarily need the mirror. And then I can see a lot of people that it can sort of that it can get in the way a little bit of them getting started with yoga if they're a little bit worried about their body image. And but, you know, I would say for everybody that in every single yoga class I've been in, it's not a competitive kind of atmosphere. No. It's not like your classic Reebok step aerobics class where everybody's checking each other out
doing. Hope it's not, and that's the thing. Leave your ego at home in yoga. There's no ego in yoga, and you're not trying to be better than somebody else. You're not trying to be more flexible. You're just trying to find your edge and challenge yourself, and that's the main thing that we focus on. And that's what's great about yoga versus other things or even competitive sports. Like, it's just you on the mat, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's actually a really challenging. And it's challenging in its own way, because when you sort of let go of everybody else around you and you really are just left with you and the obstacles, they're just your own mind, you know? And then when you start to work through those, it's so liberating. And then those benefits go, you know, off the mat.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to watch people transform. And that's one of my favorite things about teaching, is that you'll see somebody walk in and they're really nervous or they're kind of just bothered or something, and you can just insecure for whatever reason, and they go through the yoga practice and they leave and they're just glowing, you know. And it's one of my favorite things about teaching. There's one girl in particular that I'm thinking of, and just seeing her, like, over the last year just transform from this person who had never done yoga to this girl who loves it. And it just to see her face and the light and energy that just radiates from her, it's just it's really awesome. So that's a really big motivator for me, too. That's a really rewarding aspect of it. So
I don't think I've ever been in a yoga class where everybody wasn't glowing afterwards.
Especially hot yoga.
Yeah. For sure.
So Wednesdays on the schedule, we have a morning vinyasa class at 9:30. We have morning classes Tuesday through Friday, every morning at 9:30. And they're 75 minutes, so we're trying to find that sweet spot in the time schedule for people dropping their kids off at school or have to go to work late or whatever, day off in the middle of the week, who knows. So we're trying to find that. And so that class is led by Lori as well. And Wednesday night, we have two classes. We have a gentle class on Wednesday night that Ruth Simpson leads. And she is actually one of the hosts on Radio Free Palmer. And mm-hmm. she's a quilter.
Yes.
And she's...
Are these her quilts we're looking at?
There might be a few of them. Yeah, so Ruth...
And she makes bolsters, too.
And she's going to help us make bolsters for our studio. So that's a good class. It caters to all different levels. Ruth is an older woman. She's the oldest lady on our staff, and we love her.
Young at heart.
Yeah, she's young at heart. She just got certified by Laughing Lotus, Inner Dance, earlier this summer. So she's fresh to the yoga scene, and it's been on her bucket list. She told me when I first met her to become a yoga teacher. So she's doing it, and we thought we'd give her a chance, and she's great.
She's love it.
Yeah, we really like her. So the gentle class is a nice one. It's good for all levels. Like Aaron was saying, it's a little bit less intense than the beginning class, but both of them can go hand in hand pretty well.
Could you explain what vinyasa is? Define vinyasa for people.
I was actually going to stop Ailish there. Vinyasa technically just means flow. So it's a flow practice. So when we were talking about flow classes earlier, it's a partnering with your breath and movement. You'll see some sun salutations. So the series you see standing and folding and upward dogs and downward dogs and kind of flowing through that. You'll see some of those and then moving through the postures as fluidly as possible with your own breath. So it's something that gives you a chance to really connect to your breathing and moving in and out of postures with the breath. And that's typically what the vinyasa style means. And we do have another vinyasa class on Wednesday nights as well. And it's a more hot, warm, it's a hot vinyasa class. It's a levels 2-3. So it's our most challenging class. I teach that one on Wednesday evenings at 7:15. So it's going to be your most challenging class. We do all sorts of stuff and each week is different. We do lots of quads, lots of glutes, lots of abs, lots of arms, and we always throw in something that maybe you've never seen before. So it's a pretty fun class. I really enjoy teaching that one. I've been teaching that class for a couple years now, and just it's one of my favorite things to do. It is the most challenging class. So if you have not practiced yoga before, probably stick away from the Wednesday night class. The hot vinyasa class, it's a little advanced, but don't be discouraged, because if you do want to try to challenge yourself, it is a class where you will push your boundaries that you didn't think you had.
You know, you mentioned Iyengar. Now, how is that contrast? That's a different style or a different form?
He bases it off of just basic postures. Of his focus is primarily on alignment as well as internal work. Do you want to elaborate on that, Ailish?
Yeah, I mean, I've never taken an Iyengar class specifically, but I've read a lot of his work, and they spend a lot of time getting into the poses. I mean, they make sure you are aligned perfectly from the ground all the way up, and they don't hold the poses once they're in them for as long, but it's pretty beautiful to watch. Like, it's really cool, and a lot of people really like that, and it's all kind of, we all focus on alignment, but that's the most alignment-driven style.
And prop-heavy,
prop-heavy. Yeah, he loves the props, too. So he's a pretty amazing guy. He's really, really old. And
still
he's
alive,
just,
huh?
Yeah, he's still alive. Yeah, and you can watch videos of him and stuff, and he is just incredible.
Super flexible.
You wonder
how he gets his leg there. So on YouTube, maybe just type in...
Iyengar. I mean, you can just probably type in Iyengar or BKS Iyengar or something.
How do you spell Iyengar?
It's Iyengar.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So usually when you're hearing that, I think it's confusing for a lot of people, because people have heard, well, hatha yoga,
yeah,
right?
Well,
so
yeah.
Hatha yoga just, it's, I mean, it, this is just one, it's the posture part of the yoga, what's the word I'm looking for, tradition. I mean, there's lots of different parts of that, mm-hmm. and the movement piece is just one. And then when you get into hatha yoga, then you're breaking it down to all these different styles. And then plus some of the styles are referred to by name, like Iyengar, mm-hmm. or forest yoga for Anna Forrest, or Bikram. So they're styles from the practitioners who
and
have
Bikram
started the style.
Yoga.
Yeah. Or you'll also get that. You'll hear hot yoga, or you'll hear vinyasa style. So I think it can be
a little bit confusing
for people. So what you're hearing is, you're hearing often a person's name who started that particular lineage of yoga, or you're hearing something that's descriptive of the way that yoga is practiced. So that would be a good
definitely
way to say it for people.
Just like Pilates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that was the guy's last name.
Right, yeah. I think that helps for people because sometimes they're like, well, I'm confused at all these. I just want to do hatha yoga.
Yeah, which is right. pretty much
you will be.
Right.
Yeah, right. Everything else fits under hatha,
right?
Hatha
is what you're doing when you're doing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
All right. So now, how about restorative yoga? And so would the gentle class basically be a restorative class, or is that a different type of program?
It's a different type of program, definitely. There is some restorative aspects probably in the gentle class that Ruth teaches, more or less. The one that's going to be a little bit more of a restorative class will be the Thursday night deep stretch class. A restorative class is one where you're working with your limitations, whether those are mental or physical or whatever, and definitely using the support of props like the bolsters, the pillows, the wall, and holding them for a longer period of time, typically. And the deep stretch class on Thursday is led by Leah, who's fabulous. We love Leah. She's our karma yoga teacher, so she's just doing it for karma points. she teaches the morning vinyasa on the Thursday morning and then the Thursday evening at 7:15 deep stretch, which is, it has hints of both restorative as well as yin style yoga. And yin style yoga is your opposite of hot yang style yoga. So it's, you're holding poses for 1 to 5 minutes, which is a really long time. It's a mental challenge. And you can really find your maximum stretch, or you can just find your maximum relaxation in that posture. It's my most challenging class because I'm such an active, like, you know, a yang style person. If you go back to Eastern tradition of yin and yang, I'm very active. So I like the yin class as one that I personally attend to help balance it out. We were talking about balance in the beginning. So yin style or the deep stretch is going to be your balance. And that's open for all levels. It's a great class for everybody.
And it sounds like it's really a good antidote to our culture. I mean, one of the things that we talk about all the time is meditation with our clients. So, I mean, it's kind of more of a meditative yoga, and the stillness and just sitting and holding a posture and honoring that stillness. I mean, we just don't do that in our regular lives. So to have an hour and 15 minutes where you do that, that sounds great.
It's very mentally and physically challenging. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because at first there's a lot of resistance. And then once you surrender, then all of a sudden you realize it's what you really want.
It's really awesome. I definitely have seen a huge difference in myself, like getting further into a posture. So if you're an advanced practicing student, try deep stretch because you are going to be holding that forward fold for 5 minutes. And you can really get your face to your knees. So it's a cool challenge, and definitely mentally. And it helps to balance, like you said, the active lifestyle in our Western culture of just go, go, go. It's more of a meditative style practice.
So you're making me think if there's a, I do Bikram style when I'm at home and I'm on my own, and I have the Bikram CD and I've had it forever. And so, you know, I feel like I have his words memorized in my head. And so there's one where he's doing a forward fold on the floor, and he says, and you don't know what I used to do. I used to bite the toes for a penny, and my guru never paid. And I'm like, how do you get your mouth to your toes?
I don't know. Let me know when you find out.
Yeah. So he claims that he bit his toes. Wow. So I would imagine it was holding the pose for a very long time.
Long
period of time.
Long.
But I think he does have a list of, I don't know if he has it anymore, but I know Antika Libby, who used to own Twist Yoga in Wasilla on Main Street. She's been, for a while, she's been training students one-on-one at her house off of KGB. But she was talking about how I think he had a list of students who'd actually reached that, had actually gotten their nose to their toes.
Wow. Did he pay them?
I don't know if he paid them, but there was a list, and she was number something on that list. I think 60-something. So, yeah. So it's possible.
It is. Wow.
Yeah, and the deep stretch class is primarily done on the floor, and we have in-floor heat at the studio, and it's amazing.
Awesome.
Nice.
So you're nice and warm on the floor. So,
hey, now when somebody's got an injury that they're recovering from, any class specifically for that? And we're going to wrap up here and take a break, but just any comments real quick.
Injuries, you know, we can adjust with those in every class. The more active classes, you'll want to take it easy. Gentle class is great. Deep stretch is great. Just monitor, you know, your stretching because you will hold it longer. And as well as a beginning yoga class. But everything is modifiable as long as you know your limitations. You let the instructors know your limitations. And we can work with those as well.
Okay, great. So we're going to take a little break here. We're speaking with Ailish Van and Aaron Kessler of Midnight Sun Yoga Studios in Palmer, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Bridge to Everywhere with Kevin and Sam, and we have Aaron Kessler and Ailish Van from Midnight Sun Yoga Center here in downtown Palmer. And we're talking about their schedule and the various yoga classes they've got going. And I think we made it up to what the Thursday classes
yeah,
are.
Yeah, there was yeah. one more class yeah. on Thursday, but before we do that, I think we're going to have a little bit of fun here, and we're going to do a little community om, and we're going to involve Mike in that. Because that's really fun. I don't know, we've got five people right now in the studio.
And we've got men, too.
Right, we got so men, so we'll awesome. Get some good resonance. But we're going to make the om sound, and we're just going to carry it as long as we can. It's really fun to do, and I've done this in a group of like hundreds of people at a time, and the sound is really beautiful. And with the five of us, it'll still be great.
And before we do that, do you want to tell everybody what the om sound is?
Okay.
Sure. Think of it, it's just a universal sound. It starts with an ah, there's an O in the middle, and it ends with a a vibration through the lips and your whole face. It really opens up your sinuses, actually. It's pretty awesome. There's actually some really nice literature about ohms. We close class occasionally with three ohms, depending on the mood and who's in class. There's nothing really specific associated with it religious-wise. It's just a sound, and it's beautiful.
Now, is this safe for folks to do this at home with us as they
join in?
Yeah, and even if they're driving, they can do it if they're driving.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so if you're driving, this is okay.
Just
if you're operating heavy machinery, no food in your mouth. Yeah, chopping vegetables, it's okay. Yeah. We're all good. Yeah. Okay, so everybody out there, you can join us. We're gonna. So this will be broadcasting at 7. Well, actually, it'll be 7:30 p.m. on Monday night. So everybody can do this with us together out there. We'll have one big
I hope. That would
in
be
Palmer.
Awesome.
Okay, ready?
All right, let's do a little, we'll do a three clicks. Ready?
Okay.
Joining us on
that. I took two breaths for that.
I had to go back for the stomers. Yeah, yeah. So that came up because we were talking about so it was transferring the ums to the ohms. So every time you hear us say we mean to say om.
Totally.
In this broadcast. Okay, so back to Thursday night. We had one more class that we missed.
Oh, yeah. So our early class on Thursday is a Vinyasa 1-2 class that I lead. This is Ailish speaking. And it's a nice class for all people. All levels, I encourage beginners and more advanced students. I try to mix it up a little bit every week. We do the same poses. You'll never come to one of my classes where you don't do a downward dog or a triangle pose, because triangle's my favorite.
She loves triangle.
And it's just a really nice, it's a nice flow class. Starting standing, moving to the floor, and not getting back up. So you know when you made it to the floor, it's good. You're going to be there for the rest of class, which a lot of people look forward to. You know, you hit the floor and you hear a lot of sighs. So, that's our Thursday lineup. It's a yoga heavy day on Thursdays. So, and then Friday morning we have Pilates at 9:30, and it's led by Lori again. Same Pilates routine. She actually does switch it up a little bit every week, and I like how she incorporates yoga into it as well. So. And then Friday night, we look so forward to Friday night, because Friday at 5:30 after work is Zumba. And Aaron and I had done Zumba before we opened, but I had never done it. So the night before we opened the studio, we had a demo with our lovely teacher, Angel. And she'd just gotten certified to teach Zumba in May, and so she'd never taught a real class before, so we were kind of her guinea pigs, and we had the biggest smiles on our faces the whole time. It's a Latin music-based inspired dance routine. It's choreographed. Angel leads you. We mirror her, and the music is great. It's loud. It's just Friday night. Kick up your heels and have some fun, and it's been... just seriously, I can't wait for Friday night now, because we just got our Zumba clothes in, and we got like hot pink pants and neon green pants, and
it's pretty fun.
You just
dance for an hour straight and you get a great workout, and it's just, you just dance your troubles away. It's really, really fun.
It's a good stress relief for the end of the week.
Mm-hmm. It's really one of the best things ever.
Do you have pictures of Zumba class up yet on the website?
No, we just took a picture of us in all of our Zumba clothes last night because we were really excited about it. But
and that's
we will
on our Facebook site.
Oh, you do have a Facebook page
We do,
too.
Yeah. Okay. We're pretty active with Facebook, and we find a lot of our students really enjoy keeping up to date on schedule changes or pictures or surveys or friends posting that they were at the studio, and all of our events on our Facebook page.
And so they just type in Midnight Sun
Yep,
yoga.
Midnight Sun Yoga Center. We okay. pop up.
And like them on Facebook.
Yes, please do.
How many likes do you have?
315.
Woohoo! That's
yeah.
great.
You're
that's
doing great.
Great.
That's awesome.
I know. For a month of uh-huh. month of opening.
Yeah, we're
that's pretty impressive.
I think we have just over 300 and something on our Facebook page, and
Yay.
we've had the Facebook page probably for 3 years. So, and we do. We're pretty active on it. So you guys are doing great. That's
we'll
awesome.
Give you some hints.
Yeah, yeah, we need some help with social media. You guys are the social media queens on this one. You're good.
And then every Friday, I do want to add, every final Friday of each month, we're going to have a special class workshop. Shop, party, whatever, movie. So this last Friday, we had a fall into yoga class, which was focusing on back bends and twists. And it was really awesome. Everyone went into a scorpion pose. And they also learned some fun facts about random animal poses that we did.
What is a scorpion pose like? What is that?
You're on your forearms, similar into an arm stand, but you're on your forearms, and you probably want to use your wall. It's an advanced posture. Your head is off the floor, and you kick up your feet onto the wall, and you arch your back and let your feet drop over. So it's almost like a C, an upside-down C with your forearms as the base. And you'll see it a lot in Cirque du Soleil performances, and contortionists really love it. And it's been one of my challenging poses that I've been working on, and it's really fun. And everyone went into it, and it was really exciting.
That's great.
And my back is feeling it today.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a good way.
Yeah. So our Friday, our final Friday event, we didn't want to have it be first Friday because then we're competing with Anchorage. And, there's all kinds of Friday things. But we really want to get more people downtown, all day, but on Friday nights as well. And so we're just going to switch it up every month. Next month, we're going to have, I believe, Jen and Lori are co-teaching a Sugar Blues workshop, which you guys did at the Acupuncture Center. So that'll be it right before Halloween.
Perfect.
At the end of October. So that'll be the final Friday in October at the studio at 7:00. And it should be a really interesting presentation and workshop. Lots of questions can be asked and everything like that. And that'll just be a drop-in for people to come in. Or you can use, if people have a punch card, then they can just use a punch card for that too. So we really want to encourage this sort of community, not just having people come and work out, but getting more and more healthful and wellness-based information out there to people so they can learn how to be healthier
and happier
in all aspects of their life. So
yeah, and that's a big focus on our show. It's, in our acupuncture center as well, is that healthy individuals make a healthy community, and then so much more becomes possible. And I mean, everybody benefits.
Definitely. And that's one reason we really wanted to do the final Friday events as well as other workshops, is just to get people out, especially in the wintertime. We're all hunched in our cabins and not getting out or whatever, and there's not a whole lot to do yet in Palmer, and we're slowly making it happen. So I'm pretty excited, and I hope everybody comes out. We want a full house on our final Fridays, just a fun place to meet people, to learn some new stuff, and to increase your wellness.
Well, we really appreciate you guys doing that. For the past 7 years, we've been offering, free events at our space, and just really trying to get out to the community, just so people know what's mm-hmm. actually out there in terms of health resources. So it's so awesome to have somebody else doing that too.
Yeah.
So people have other options and where to go. And I'm sure you guys will find stuff that we haven't even thought of. So that'll be fantastic.
Yeah. So just to wrap up our schedule for the week, we have Saturday morning hot yoga class that is led by me at Eilish. And it's really awesome. It's like Saturday morning, kick back, have fun with yoga. It's the same routine that we teach on Monday nights. And it's a very popular class. People like to get up early on Saturday mornings, get their yoga done, and then go on with their day. And right after hot yoga, we have another Zumba class, which is led by Lori as well. So that's a 10:15 a.m. Zumba class, which is really fun too. We explained how much we love Zumba. So, and then Sundays, we're adding on a class by Renee Howard, who is a local massage therapist and yoga instructor. So she's going to be doing starting mid-October, she's going to be doing a hips and heart class on Sunday from 10:30 to 12. So, And I just wanted to throw in there that we're also having Dory McDaniel do a Rise and Shine yoga class Tuesday and Thursday mornings from 7:15 to 8:30 a.m. You can drop in for that one, and that'll be a nice way to start your day. So,
and Dory's been teaching in the Valley for a really long time. She's a very experienced yoga teacher.
Yeah.
So anybody out there, if you haven't had a chance to take a class from Dory, I really encourage you to go. I mean, I don't know how many years she's been teaching yoga, but she's fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, she's
an
one
awesome
of our
lady.
yoga treasures in the Valley.
Yeah.
So
she's
please
a great,
take advantage
great
of that.
Great soul. We love Dory.
We love Dory.
Yeah. We love everyone that works
for
us.
Everybody brings something unique to it, and mm-hmm. having somebody who's been teaching for such a long time, you know, just you gain more depth as long as you do
Definitely.
It, you know. And the same thing we feel about Antica and you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, the more you do it, the more you learn. So it's just wonderful to take advantage of all the different teachers that you guys have.
Yeah, we're really blessed in the Valley. I mean, Linda Ransom Studio and mm-hmm. Anjali Yoga.
And Dory teaches there as well.
Yeah, yeah, and then
Tammy Mosier.
And then also Georgia Studio mm-hmm. and
Blue Mountain.
So, yeah, I mean, we really do have incredible teachers and a lot of options for classes. I'm wondering, what is the Rise and Shine? What is Dory going to teach in the Rise and Shine? Any ideas?
That's a good question. Somebody asked me that the other day, and I said, I don't know, but it's going to be awesome.
It'll be Dory.
I haven't actually gotten to talk to Dory
yeah.
about it yet, but people are really excited about it, and yeah. I have absolutely no doubt that it'll be a great class. It'll be a great way to start the day. I imagine there'll be sun salutations and stuff. I'm not really
yeah.
sure.
And it's great because we are located in downtown Palmer, so for those of you that work at the borough buildings or the school district or the local businesses in town, we're right there, so you can just walk on in and then go right to work. So it's a really convenient location for everybody.
And would people be able to do that and, you know, not be over too sweaty or stinky?
Probably the morning class is not going to be too sweaty, I hope.
Great.
Yeah, it should be a good class. So we're going to try that out for October and see how it goes. So, yeah.
How about yoga for men? Is anything in the works for something specifically for men?
We would love to find a male yoga teacher. I don't know if that would encourage more men to come and do yoga. In my Monday night hot class a couple weeks ago, I had 5 men out of 21, which I thought was pretty good. That was a record for me personally as a yoga teacher and for the studio mm-hmm. so far. So the benefits for men are just unbelievable. To see men get into a regular yoga practice, it's just really awesome. And seeing men do yoga is really good too, just because it's something that they're not primed to do or whatever. So just to see them practice and get more into it, it's been really, we have a couple really dedicated men, and it's been awesome to see them transform and how much it can heal them and help heal them. So.
And something many people don't know, the history of yoga here, was actually developed by men in India for men. So it's not a women's practice. Yoga originated as a men's practice, a young boy's growing practice to have strength and flexibility for hunting or whatever duties they have in life. So don't be discouraged, men out there. Come on down to yoga. It's not a women's practice. It's technically a men's practice. We're just jumping in and taking it over.
Co-opted it, right?
Yeah. Now 80% of practitioners of yoga are women, but we're trying to bump up those odds.
Yeah, in this country.
But yeah, if you would go into anywhere in Asia, India, and in the Eastern world, you'll see more men practicing, because technically women were not allowed to practice yoga until probably like the 1900s, early 1900s, like 1920s maybe. There was sorry if everyone knows all the history of yoga and I'm botching it here, but a lady who from India really wanted to practice and wanted to learn and just dedicated herself to saying, no, you're going to teach me how to do yoga. No, you're going to teach me how to do yoga. And over time, they're like, all right. And then she brought it to America and open it up to women. So it's very recent that women are allowed to practice yoga, and they're coming at it at full force. But we want more men.
Yeah. You know, on that note, is it Bruce Greenwood, who's the owner at InterDance?
Yeah, Karen Greenwood's
husband. Anyway, he came out to Anjali Studio out in Wasilla and did yoga for stiff guys.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I went there, and there was a group of about 12 of us, I think, probably,
mm-hmm.
and it was a great class. And
that would be fun to do at the studio.
It was really amazing. It was well attended, and everybody had a great time.
Yeah. Good.
It was really good, and to have a male teacher leading the way, and he was able to really isolate areas that are you know, normal, they're really commonly difficult places for men, just, mm-hmm. you know, hamstrings, low back, hamstrings. You know, issues like that. And he's able to really zero in on some areas to help us out. And, I'm sure there's a demand for that if you guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should look into that.
And I know a yoga teacher in Anchorage, if you can get him out here. His name is Jersey Kako. he's a good friend of ours, and he is an amazing teacher. I don't know if he's teaching right now, but I'll talk to him.
Yeah, maybe we could get him out here. That would be fun.
Even
yeah.
to just do yeah. like a men's workshop like that, that would be really nice. Just to expose more guys to the practice.
So. Yeah, you know, the one more thing on that is that I thought, you know, as a guy, you want to be able to do it and do it right and do it right fast. And when you see people bending, you know, things like the scorpion, I'm honestly a little intimidated about the scorpion.
Hey, I had two guys do scorpion on Friday night, so don't be discouraged.
But
we just got you into a handstand, as you'll see the picture on our Facebook page before this interview.
That was
airs.
Actually
yeah.
easier than I thought it was going to be. But what I found is that you don't have to do the full posture to get all the benefit. And so I went as far into the yoga I've done so far. You know, you don't have to be super flexible to get benefit.
Right.
And that was really eye-opening to me. And in the men's class that I took, you know, there were not a lot of guys that were doing incredible, you know, postures that were textbook. We were just kind of working our way into them, close to them. But everybody felt amazing afterwards.
That's awesome.
And I think that's one of the other big myths, besides people being uncomfortable mm-hmm. with their bodies, the idea that, well, oh, I can't put my foot over my head, so I can't do yoga. You know, and that's just not, I mean.
There's
well,
excuses. Yeah. I'm not yeah. flexible. Right. Well, then come to yoga.
Exactly. You know, I hear, and it's the idea, it's the progression towards that. You may never hit that perfect picture that you see in the yoga magazine
yeah.
or you see online or you see on the yoga posters, and that's really not the point.
No, it's not. And that's one big thing that we stress is it's not, you know, what the full posture, what it looks like, because if you practice yoga 24 hours a day for your life and you don't do anything else, you don't hike, you don't bike, you don't carry your children on your hip or anything, if you just did yoga, yeah, you could probably get your foot over your head if you needed to and get into some of these crazy pretzel poses. But we're all humans and we're all have active lifestyles, and it's just a nice balance, and you have to know your limitations. And I think that's one misconception of yoga is that, well, I'm not flexible, so I can't do that. And that should be completely dispelled, because that's why you practice yoga, to get more flexible.
Okay, so you hear that, Palmer? That's not an excuse anymore.
Cross that off.
So when you see us.
Anybody out there, if you think you can't do it because you're not flexible, that's not good enough.
That's the reason to show up. And it's the same thing for meditation. Everybody says, oh, I have a busy mind. Well, okay, who doesn't
yeah,
have a busy mind?
Right?
But, you know, flexible body, flexible mind. And, you know, there's a contortionist that would come into a restaurant where we used to wait tables. She was, what, in her 80s or 85, 90 years old?
Something like that.
Wait,
Miss Wiggles.
Yeah, Miss Wiggles. And she's hilarious. And she would come in with her husband, really a sweet couple. And
they gave us a video of them on a cruise ship. And I think this would have been in the late 90s. And they had just been, it was probably like 98 or 99. They'd been on a cruise ship. And somebody in the cruise ship wanted her to go up and do her contortionist performance. And so there she is on a chair in her 80s doing all this crazy
wow.
stuff with the ship pitching in the waves. Like it was a rather like rough seas the night she was doing her performance. So you can actually like see the boat moving back and forth, and then she's up there on the chair doing her contortionist thing. It was wild.
And you know, the thing about this is that she's just a joyful, happy person, you know, and that there's a connection, you
Definitely.
Know, when you
there really
yeah,
is. Yeah. yeah. And that's a big thing too. It's just people have come up to us and said, this has helped me so much with whatever, and it just makes such a difference in people's lives, even just after one practice. Like, just like I said, seeing that transformation in people, even if they're not touching their toes, like, that's not the goal. It's just that the fact that they came, they dedicated 75 or 90 minutes to just being on the mat with themselves, doing what they can do, and feeling better about themselves and as a person. And that's why we're doing this. We're doing this because we love to teach yoga and to make this more available for people and to just show everyone that you can do it in some form or another. That's a big part of it for us. So
if everyone practiced yoga in the world, there would be no war.
All right, you
heard
it
here.
Everyone would be happy. Yeah. So that's our goal.
Yeah, that is.
Hey, now on that note, how about yoga for kids?
Oh, yes. Oh, we love teaching kids yoga. We've had probably more people ask about either Mommy and Me or tots and whatever, toddlers. More people have asked about that than any other sort of yoga practice. We've had so many moms come up to us and ask about yoga and kids yoga. And Aaron and I both really like teaching kids yoga because kids are going to tell you how they feel. They're going to tell you, like, I don't like this pose, or this hurts, or I don't feel anything. Whereas adults, you're like, you guys feeling okay? And everyone just looks at you. But kids will be like, no, this isn't working for me. They're just so honest with you. And it's just, teaching kids is just, it's the best. So we're hoping to do a kids workshop later on in the winter, maybe tie in with Christmas break or spring break or something. We're working on the details of that still.
And I'll be going into my second year of working at Kinnick Goose Bay Elementary School over off KGB with Bonnie Harder, who's a counselor over there. I do an after-school yoga class for kids. And I started there last year, fall and spring, once a week with the kids for an hour, and it was a blast. I had 30 kids on average. I mean, it's crazy. It's nothing like your adult yoga. You're running around. You're doing crazy poses. You're growling. You're roaring. You're mooing. You're definitely getting into the posture. So, I mean, cat-cow pose is a loud one. Or up-dog will howl. So it's a lot. It's super fun to teach kids. They're really flexible, and it really brings you back to you being a kid again. Like, everyone's got that youth inside them, and I think it's really fun to work with kids. And I encourage mothers with small children to practice at home and bring the kid with you on the mat or whatnot, because I think kids can really benefit it and have a little bit more connection with their body that they may not have known. It's definitely a learning experience.
And I can see it being really important for, if you consider, like, how much more screen time kids, like younger kids, are having, you know, because they're just, there's iPads, there's iPods, mm-hmm. there's computers, you know, compared to when we grew up, there's just more, it's more and more opportunities for kind of repetitive stress injuries. So it's even yes. more important that you keep that flexibility, because as you're saying, kids are flexible, mm-hmm. but they can lose it really fast. I mean, by the time kids get to be teenagers, they can lose that flexibility if they're not using it. So, I mean, it would be huge to have that, you know, as be part of their elementary school experience, and then they could keep going with it. Because that's the most common thing that we hear, people getting injured because they're doing the same thing over and over again, or they're not flexible enough. Which, exactly. Ailish was just demonstrating BlackBerry thumb.
You know, Aaron, you made a really good point about being connected to your body, and that's, you know, in the holistic healing arts and in acupuncture, I mean, so much of what we're doing is just helping people remember to pay attention to their bodies, because our bodies are always telling us the truth.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, it's, so there's a reason why a certain feeling or symptom or thing is happening, but so often we ignore it. We just push through and because we were distracted with other things. But if kids learn at an early age to pay attention and really have a dialogue with their bodies, oh, what a different life they're going to have.
Especially when they get into their teen years and adolescent years, and especially for young girls as well. There's a lot of programs, especially in the lower 48, for high school girls. And that's a real fun group to work with. And I hope to see more high school kids come to the yoga classes. They're totally welcome, and they get a discounted rate. And it really helps benefit them, especially going through puberty and going through adolescence and going through all the trials and tribulations of growing up. We've all been there. We know how stressful it can be, how fun it can be as well. And that's really fun. I have worked with college students. I taught a yoga PE class at APU, and that's a fun group to work with as well, because they are going through all the stress of college, as we talked about earlier, which brought me to yoga. And that's fun as well, because then they're really starting their flexibility. You know, they could start earlier, but at least they're getting into it, you know, in college and stuff, and hopefully taking that on into their adult life to help, you know, relieve their stress and focus on their breathing for preparing themselves for interviews or just general being out in the public outside of college.
And I want to say something about the word flexibility keeps coming up. You know, we're talking about, and the word holistic often comes up when people talk about yoga. And if it's holistic, it means whole, and it means that it's all connected. So when we're talking about flexibility, we're really not just talking about the body.
No, you know, it's like everything, like dealing with everything in life. You have to be flexible. I mean, to get so stressed out, and that's a problem, I think, with our Western society, is that we get so stressed out about stupid little things. We just need to be flexible, go with the flow, literally, and
take things as they come.
Take things as they come, and flexibility, not muscularly or body-wise, but just in your mind as well, and being able to just understand and be accepting and be appreciative and be, you know,
Flexibility and balance, that's a big thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, and flexibility also, I think, in terms of, like, creativity. Like, a lot of people get stuck in certain ways of thinking besides, you know, they can get stuck in certain ways of moving their body because that's what they do all day long. Yeah, if they don't break out of that pattern, the same thing happens in their heads. You know, people reach a certain age and they're not able to really grow anymore. They don't grow. They don't change. Mm-hmm. And so that that ability to be flexible on a mental level allows for different patterns of thinking, and you can think a little bit more creatively. And if you're trying to, it's like, you know, you really can change your life by changing what's going on with your body on a physical level. You can change the mental, emotional stuff as well.
Definitely. And there's lots of literature about that out there as well. I've been reading a lot about, you know, with the meditation and stuff. And also, as Ailish was saying, just seeing the transformation of people mentally coming to yoga for those very reasons that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I think human beings can get stuck, you know, and I mean, stuck in old ways, the ways things have always been done. I mean, just an example. I mean, here we live in the most beautiful place on earth. We have the best quality of life in all of Alaska. And, you know, this place could put out the most incredible products. Mm-hmm. You know, this place is a gold mine of quality of life and opportunity. And what are we doing? We're thinking about coal.
I know, right?
For God's sake. I mean,
breathe free.
So, I mean, just that's the thing where, you know, there's no creativity in that. That's a catastrophic failure of imagination, in my opinion.
Yeah, just thinking outside the box and thinking in a healthy way. And I think that's something that both, like, every health profession, at least, you know, as far as, like, your meditation, your acupuncture, your yoga, and more of, like, a non-traditional health focus is focusing on, you know, your overall well-being, you know, breathing clean air, being active in the outdoors, and being able to get out there and eating good food. I mean, that's something I've learned through yoga, is just being not just what I do physically, but what I put into my body. And living in the heart of the breadbasket of Alaska with great organic foods, like, we all should be eating that. Like, yeah. You don't need to go to Cars to get your food. We've got fantastic.
Not this time of year.
Yeah,
if you have a root cellar, you can extend it quite a bit longer. But yeah,
I need one of those.
So now, how about yoga for pregnant women? Anything that you're thinking about for that?
Something with that is, I mean, neither of us have ever been pregnant. So we are still learning. But if you practice yoga on a regular basis and do become pregnant, you are definitely encouraged to continue to practice yoga. I mean, I know people that are practicing into their third trimester right before they're about to have their child. So you just have to take some modifications, deep twists, deep back bends. I mean, obvious things. And the biggest thing, I think, for a woman is just to listen to their body. I mean, if it's not comfortable for you, that's fine. But I was teaching a class in last spring, and a girl was pregnant, and she was probably in her first trimester and very, you know, just a little bump. But she was fine and on her belly doing back bends. And I was like, is that okay for you? And she's like, oh, yeah, I actually kind of like it. I can kind of feel the baby. And, you know, so it's different for everybody. And there's a lot of resources out there. What they don't recommend is that if you have never done yoga before, don't start taking up a really active practice after you become pregnant.
Right. And at Anjali Yoga Studio in Wasilla, they do have they'll often offer a pregnancy yoga class.
Nice.
And they do take people who've never done yoga before.
Yeah, and
but
that's
they have
totally
an instructor
fine.
Who really
right.
She works with people.
And that's the biggest thing is the guided practice, definitely. And that's what I mean is, like, don't be practicing it at home by yourself. I mean, you can, but it just modify.
Great. Well, we are wrapping up. We would love to hear just any last words you want to share. How do people follow up with you? What's your website?
Our website is midnightsunyoga.com. And like we said, we have a Facebook page, and we also have a Twitter account, which we're trying to get into the Twitter mode, but it's hard to tweet all the time when you're trying to do other things. So so those are the best ways to get a hold of us. We have a studio phone. It's a cell phone. So Aaron and I, either one of us, always has it on us. It's 355-8889. And 355 yoga was taken. Somebody doesn't even know the gold mine that they have with that one.
thank you guys very much for being
Aaron
with us.
Aaron Kessler and Ailish Van.
And thank you. See everybody on the mat, and namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on The Bridge to Everywhere, broadcasting on KVRF 89.5 Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Like us on Facebook at Bridge to Everywhere to access more information, links, and resources from our guests and show topics.